After months of inviting speculation about a possible gubernatorial run, Congressman Tom Suozzi made it official at the end of November as the Long Island Democrat formally announced plans to seek his party's nomination. Suozzi was elected to the House of Representatives in 2016 after rising through the ranks of Nassau County politics, including serving two terms as county executive. He spoke with us on Monday about his new statewide campaign. Welcome to the show, Congressman.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having me on.
It's our pleasure. So as we talk, Kathy Hochul has been governor for a little more than 3 months now. In that time, has she done anything to, I guess, disqualify herself from getting a full term in office from your perspective? And if not, why jump into the race now as opposed to, say, further down the road as we watch, say, the legislative session develop?
Well, I'm not going to talk about any of my opponents in the race and say what's wrong with them. I'm only going to talk about what's wrong with New York State and why I'm the only one who can really fix them, or why I think I'm the best person to fix them, I should say. I think when people look at who the next governor is going to be, they're going to look at three factors. They're going to look at who's got the proven executive experience, what's their approach to governing, and what's their vision for the future. So I'm the only one who's actually served as an executive in government, as a mayor of my hometown for 8 years, as county executive of one of the largest counties in the country, bigger than 11 states, Nassau County, and as a member of Congress. And I'm trained as a CPA and an attorney. So everything I've done in my life has prepared me for this particular job at this particular time. I turned around my hometown. I turned around Nassau County. I've gotten a lot of things done as a proven executive. Secondly, the approach to governing. I'm a common sense Democrat. I don't believe in political correctness. I believe we have to do
the
correct
thing. What does that mean? What does that mean? You don't believe in political correctness?
Well, I think we all have a sense of that these days. I think that most people are just sick and tired of everybody being so careful about what they say that they don't actually use their common sense to solve problems. An example also is, you know, the whole thing with the Columbus statue. My father was born in Italy, came to the United States as a young boy. We should talk about Columbus's history, and we should talk about the history of indigenous people and our history, but I don't think we should get rid of Columbus Day. I don't think we should, you know, Thomas Jefferson, one of the great figures of American history. We can talk about what we think he did wrong or what was inappropriate about his personal behavior and about what he did in drafting the Declaration of Independence. But why would we remove a statue from City Hall?
Well, I guess on the Columbus front, could be a calculation made that our societal values have moved past which we might want to have recognized in the past, and therefore there would be less of a emphasis on, say, putting up a statue or holding a day of celebration in his name.
So as an Italian-American,
which I am as well.
My father, born in Italy, came to the United States as a young boy, first kid in the neighborhood to go to college, fought in World War II, got the Distinguished Flying Cross, came back and went to Harvard Law School on the GI Bill. What a country. Wow, amazing. Couldn't get a job at a law firm because people were against the Italians. My dad, when he died at 95 years old in 2016, 2 weeks before my election, I looked at his papers, and I was looking at his yearbook from high school. In his yearbook, they asked the kids, they said, "What's your goal in life?" He says, "My goal in life is to be a real American." Now, when I was a kid and I saw that, I was like, who thinks of that when they're 18 years old? I realized in 2016, my dad was 18 in 1939, and Italian Americans were tremendously discriminated against because Mussolini had teamed up with Hitler, and everybody said, Italians are either in the mafia or they're fascist like Mussolini is. So he fought discrimination his whole life. When I was a kid going to school, I didn't feel discrimination as an Italian-American because when I was in school, we got construction paper to do the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. And so I didn't feel that sense of discrimination. I felt this was an important figure in history for Italian-Americans. Now, that doesn't mean we can't talk about, you know, indigenous people and about the effect on Native Americans in American history. But it's offensive to me as an Italian-American to say we're going to get rid of that holiday altogether. And we can debate about it, but the idea that nobody's going to speak up because they're afraid they're going to offend some because of the political correctness is something we need to address in this country. We can't be so cautious that we can't discuss things.
And what was the third point that you wanted to touch on broadly after political correctness?
Right. So proven executive experience is number one. Number two is common sense Democrat as my approach to governing. And third, I've been in the race for a couple days. I've already laid out my vision for what I want to do for the state of New York. I want to reduce taxes. you don't hear that much coming from Democrats, but I've been involved, as I said, mayor and county executive and now in Congress. Property taxes are a major issue in downstate New York, and taxes overall are a major issue in New York, affecting businesses from locating here and affecting people from locating to our state. We have the highest, some of the highest taxes in all of America. I want to continue to fight against crime. I oversaw the police department when I was the mayor of Glen Cove and the county executive of Nassau County. The Nassau County Police Department is the 12th largest police department in the United States, larger than Detroit and Boston. And I'm very much in favor of making sure that police don't break the rules and they are not unfair to people based upon their race or their income. But at the same time, we need to support our cops because they're in dangerous jobs. So we can reform, but we can also enforce the laws and support our police officers in the process. That's why I supported Eric Adams as a unique individual who was talking about the same type of message, and I came out early for him in that race. I've talked about the environment my entire career. I was the New York State Environmentalist of the Year by the New York League of Conservation Voters. I was recognized by Al Gore in the 1990s for being a model for cleaning up polluted sites. We need to continue to preserve and protect the environment and improve the environment and fight climate change here in New York State, be a leader on it the way we have. And lastly, education. We have got to figure out how to help kids in failing schools. And I think that the way to do it, based upon my experience, is to bring all of our existing social service programs into our school districts. There's not going to be a whole new pot of money from the federal government or the state government or local governments for new programs. We have to take our existing programs and focus on helping children at young ages who are facing challenges in their lives address those problems at a young age. We have to focus on prevention. Again, Desmond Tutu, quoted by Eric Adams very often, talked about we spend a life pulling people out of the river. We need to go upstream and stop people from falling in the river in the first place. Now, everybody said, you know, it's better to educate a child instead of paying for a jail cell later on. We spend $30,000 a year per child for education in New York State. We spend $450,000 at Rikers Island per year. So let's help children. Let's help make their lives better and prevent kids from ending up in crime or in poverty or in homelessness or in domestic violence. 75% of the people in jail have a drug, alcohol, or mental health problem. 50% of the kids at Rikers Island have a learning disability. So we have got to figure out how to do a better job of using our existing programs and guide them towards prevention.
So let's unpack some of those policies, but first let me reintroduce you for listeners who are just joining us. We're speaking with Congressman Tom Suozzi, a Long Island Democrat who's going to be pursuing the Democratic nomination for governor. You've made a big point about how high property taxes are. You even mentioned income taxes in your campaign launch video. How do you cut property taxes or cut income taxes and then replace the lost revenue without finding it from somewhere else or cutting services?
You know, I've focused on property taxes for a long, long time and taxes generally. And I ran for governor, if you recall, back in 2006 against Eliot Spitzer. It didn't turn out very well for me. Didn't turn out very well for Eliot Spitzer either, obviously. But he appointed me as chairman of the New York State Commission on Property Tax Relief, as did David Patterson. And I wrote a detailed report about property taxes in New York State. School taxes is where most of our taxes are paid. 65%, 75% in some instances are property taxes for school taxes. And the state has enormous amounts of unfunded state mandates. And I think that we need to move away from mandates towards guidelines as much as possible. And in those school districts that are performing well, where kids have high graduation rates and test scores are performing well, leave them alone and let them continue to manage their school districts. But in those school districts that are falling flat and have major problems, instead of having our Department of Education focus on filling forms and doing bureaucracy, let's send in teams to help those schools to survive and get them the help that they need, the resources they need. But we need to move away from just unfunded state mandates, especially in schools, and more towards guidelines. And we need to work with the unions and with the educators and with the school districts themselves, the school boards and the school superintendents, to make that happen. We need to figure out how to do things where the school districts can cooperate with each other. Schools get their funding from two sources. They get it from school aid, which comes from the state, which is one of the largest expenditures of New York State, and they get it from property taxes. Well, we need to figure out how to shift it more towards state aid because our percentage of funding that comes from the state is actually below the national average. Our spending overall is higher than the national average, because of the unfunded state mandates, but our school aid is lower than the national average. So we need to change that shift to increase the state aid and to reduce the property taxes in the process. We also need to be looking at a circuit breaker, whereby people who are on a fixed income, senior citizens on a fixed income, for example, or young couples starting out, or people with lower incomes that are house rich but are income poor, we need to have a look at a circuit breaker, whereby you're only paying a certain percentage at the most of your income in property taxes, because property taxes are really regressive when everything's said and done. And we don't want to encourage those senior citizens who bought a house for $20,000 or $10,000, 50 years ago, that now have a house worth $300,000 or $400,000 or $500,000 to be forced out of their homes because they can't afford the property taxes. So we need to look at a circuit breaker. When it comes to taxes overall, we need to be looking about how to manage things better. And I've got a proven executive experience as a mayor, as a county executive, as a CPA, of managing things and getting things done to make our government more efficient. I've done it. It's a lot of nuts and bolts. It's a lot of blocking and tackling. It's not a lot of exciting stuff, but it has to do with technology. It has to do with consolidation of departments. It has to do with people working across their silos to get things done to actually help people.
And finally, you mentioned your environmental bona fides. So I want to discuss the state's campaign to dramatically reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 2050. And there's legislation that would fund this pivot away from fossil fuels by essentially putting a societal price on carbon across the economy. But detractors of this measure note this will likely mean higher energy costs and paying more at the pump in the interim. Would you support a tax like this, which would be invested back into renewable energy projects and energy efficiency projects and other initiatives to meet our climate change goals?
I would consider something like that from a federal perspective. Right now, New York State is unattractive because the taxes are so high from New York State by itself. That's why the state and local tax deduction is so important to me that I fought for in Congress to get us our state and local tax deduction back. The idea of having higher taxes just in New York, where it makes New York less attractive, that people won't come to live here, people won't bring businesses here, is something we have to guard against. We've gone too far in New York that we are not competitive and people don't want to live here and people are leaving. So many people, I'm sure you know people, and I certainly know a lot of people who've left to go to North Carolina and South Carolina and to Florida for low tax states. They'll take their pensions with them and their pensions will go a lot farther in those states where they have low taxes. Now, they have lower taxes because they don't insure their children and they don't fight climate change. And they don't pay their teachers as much because they don't support unions. They don't have infrastructure like we do in New York State. But it's cheaper there. There's no question about it. So we have to figure out how can we balance our desire and our correct desire to be a progressive state that leads the nation, but also make it so that people can afford to live here. So that affordability challenge is a big challenge we're facing in our state related to taxes and utility costs and just the cost of living generally. So we have to guard against that and be conscious of that and manage to our progressive ideals, which we need to remain a leader in New York State, but also make it so that New York State's attractive.
Well, unfortunately, we are out of time. We've been speaking with Congressman Tom Suozzi. Congressman, thank you so much for making the time, and I really hope we can get you back in the future because there's a lot more to unpack here, whether it's criminal justice reform, state budget, healthcare, and we'd love to talk with you all along the way.
Yeah, I'm excited to do that, and thanks so much for having me on, Dave.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.